Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. No one ever said being a Christian was easy. It is all about difficult choices and how to apply what we learn here on Sunday mornings to the rest of our lives. And if you doubt that, I would encourage you to read all three of the lectionary texts for today. The Old Testament passage that we read, where God is reminding us that we may be destroyed at any moment due to God's good pleasure. The book of Philemon, in which Paul returns an escaped slave to his master. And the Gospel of Luke, which is not in your bulletin, but which reminds us that unless you hate your father and mother, you should not take up the cross of Christ. So for the lonely preacher, we had quite a number of options on this Sunday in which we welcome our children back to the Sunday school year. That was a joke. These are all really depressing passages that are really problematic for people who have been away on vacation all summer. And it is in Philemon that I think I find the application for our lives, because it is easy for us to see these choices that face us as Christians from afar, to apply them in this safe space on Sunday mornings. Here we have already made our choice. We are in worship and too embarrassed to leave in the middle of it. And it is in the rest of our life that we see what these real trade-offs are and perhaps are not as strong, because there is no way to get around the facts of this letter. People have tried, and people have put forth theories about Paul's abolitionism, and people have been struck down that no, that's not really what's going on here. Paul is returning a slave to his master who is a Christian. As you might imagine, this passage was very popular in certain circles in the middle part of the 19th century in America. And no amount of, well, slavery was different then, which is true, can get us away from that fact. But where we can get into this is in this huge matrix of choices that fits us and fits these three people who are the characters in this letter. Because we can see certain things moving, but everyone has at least two choices to make. We start with Paul. Paul received this escaped slave into his presence. Paul, who knew Onesimus because he had known Philemon, he accepted Onesimus into his presence and did not see him as Philemon did not see him as a slave, a piece of property, something that could only be useful or useless. Paul instead saw Onesimus as a person, as a potential brother, as a potential partner in Jesus Christ. And we know this because the letter has been written. If Paul had seen Onesimus the way Philemon saw Onesimus, we would never have this letter. Paul would have dispatched him immediately back to Philemon. But that's not the choice that Paul made. Faced with someone who was different than him, faced with someone who could have been a nameless object, and Onesimus effectively is namelessness, it is a word for servant, I believe, he could have dismissed that person, that thing in front of him. Instead, he said, "No, who are you, Onesimus, that is visiting me?" So we have our first choice from Paul, to see Onesimus as a potential partner, as a friend, as a human being, rather than an object. And then, after Onesimus had studied with him, Paul had another option. He had many other options, in fact. He could have said, "I will keep Onesimus here. Philemon need not be the wiser." This may have not been practical. Philemon was a follower of Paul, a follower of Jesus Christ. Surely news would have gotten back to him. But Paul was not above sending people to places that were far away, so he could have sent Onesimus off as a missionary somewhere else, but he did not do that. He said, Onesimus, I think you should go back to Philemon. And that's a tough choice too, and I'll get into that more in a minute. Because Onesimus has some choices before him. Onesimus made the choice to escape from Philemon. He heard the gospel in Philemon's house. He heard this message of all Christians being beloved children of God, and he believed it. And he believed it so much that he ran off to Paul to seek further instruction. And so that was his choice, to face legal repercussion from escaping from his master. We see it here later on in the letter. Paul is offering to pay debts, to pay penalties that Onesimus may have accrued by running away from Philemon. So Onesimus had that choice. Now Onesimus has another choice. Paul, we are told, is in prison. Paul cannot compel Onesimus to go back to Philemon. Paul can only ask him to do so. And so Onesimus now has a second choice, a third choice, really. He could have just run away from Philemon and hidden out in the city or a different city. He didn't do that. He ran to someone where his presence would be known eventually to Philemon. Onesimus here has another choice. Do I go back with this letter to Philemon, who may not like the fact that I ran away? Or do I run away? Or do I implore Paul to send me someplace else? But Onesimus seems to be going back to Philemon. And why is this? What is going on here that would cause Paul to send his beloved son, this phrasing for a pupil of his, back to his slave owner, his slave master, who may not be pleased with him? Well, you see, the language in this letter is amazing because Paul says he was useless to you when you saw him as an object. He doesn't say that last part, but he says he was useless to you. You, when you did not see who this person was. You, when you saw only an object, only a slave in front of you, had only a useless slave. Now that I have come, he has come to me, and I have shown him the love of Jesus Christ, and he heard in your presence and saw in your presence the love that you, Philemon, have for other people. He was transformed. The love of Jesus Christ transformed this person from something useless to someone useful. Now we can take this too far. I like to think that Onesimus was always useful, but that it was that barrier of slavery that prevented Philemon from seeing it. But nevertheless, Paul says here, I believe in the transformative power of love. And so I am giving you a choice, Philemon, who loves all the saints of God. Saints of God, a code word for Christian. You love all of the Christians. You are well known for it. You have shown me love, Philemon. Can that love transform you so much that you see Onesimus not as a thing to be owned, a thing to be punished for insolence, a thing to be judged like we would a cistern, but as a beloved brother in Jesus Christ? Can you, Philemon, give up this property of yours, make a material sacrifice for the good of Jesus Christ? Can you give up the money that you have and the property that you have and recognize that in Onesimus we have a brother in Christ committed to the gospel, more useful as a person, more useful as a preacher, more useful as a member of this body than he ever was to you as an object? The choice is yours, Philemon, who loves all the saints of God. Can you be transformed? Can you accept that love in your heart when you know that it may cause you to suffer? And this is the choice to Philemon. Choices abound. Paul is in jail. He can't enforce anything. He says here, I could command you, Philemon, but I'm leaving you with the choice. Now, Paul likes to talk large. Can he really command him? I don't know. But he's giving Philemon the out, the ability to say with his head held high, I recognize that this decision is going to cause me some pain, but not nearly as much as the joy that it will bring me. And this is the intersection of Sunday morning and Wednesday afternoon. And we like to hear this story and we like to say, oh, in Paul's place, I would have done differently perhaps. Perhaps I would have found some other way that did not give Onesimus the risk of going back into slavery. And my preacher back home in North Carolina likes to say, every generation has sins that it is blind to. And so one thing that comes out of this message is we see the power of naming someone as a person, as a beloved child of God, as the you in front of me who has no boundary as to your potential. But we also hear on a day-to-day basis about all the problems in Iowa City that we have with people from Chicago, all the problems in Iowa that we have from illegals. And we have the opportunity to say right now, whoa, 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 whoa. When you name this entire group of people with one adjective, when you limit them to this thing you have in your head about what the thing is that they are, you remove from them any agency in their own lives, because you will not be able to see it. And so it is the case that Onesimus may later on make a bad mistake. It is the case that Paul could have said to Onesimus, I welcome you. And Onesimus could have said, that's great, I'm taking off now because I don't want to go back there. I don't want to show God's love and I don't want to be useful. That was Onesimus as a person's choice. When Onesimus was a slave, he had no choice. So here, he could have made that choice poorly, but he didn't. When shown love, when given the chance to spread his wings and say, this is what kind of person that I am, Onesimus became a strong believer in Jesus Christ, someone Paul was happy to call a son of his, someone who was filled with love. And this is our choice every day too, as we go throughout our week. We can see on the Ped Mall a group of homeless people harassing us. We can see people with names and stories, people who are beloved children of God, no matter what choices they make. We can give people the opportunity to be what they will be, for good or ill. But that is the very thing that Paul shows us here. That is the very thing he is asking of Philemon. He says, Philemon, you are a lover of people that it is easy to love. Can you too be a lover of those who may hurt you, of those who may take things away from you, of those who would remove property from you? This, Philemon, is the hard choice of being a Christian. We face these questions every day. How do we show love? How do we have love in our hearts? And the first thing is to say, you, friend, our beloved child of God, and I love you. That's the first thing. Let us pray. God, it is so hard to see past the feet in front of our faces. Let us have our eyes opened to you as we hope Philemon's eyes were opened by Paul. Let us see other people as beloved brothers and sisters. Let us keep ourselves from closing off hope in our own minds and our own hearts as we see others different than ourselves. God, give us this strength in this week to remind others around us that we are all people. We are all your people and worthy of your love. Amen. Hymn number 367.